an honored guest that we have at the studio. I was going to announce him, but Frank decided to jump right in there. So here's the way to do it, Frank. I want to welcome the chief of Frederick City Police Department. Good afternoon, chief.
Hey, good afternoon. I was sitting on the lobby, and which one of you pronounced my
name?
That's
Frank. That's Frank. That's the one.
All right, Frank.
Nice try. And your name is? Lando.
L-A-N-D-O. Lando.
Yeah. And you're from, chief, this is the first time we've met in person. I've read about you. I followed your career, you know, as you, when we were going through a selection of chief of police. You were not my first choice.
All right.
No, but they said of my age and everything that they really didn't think I was qualified. So, but you were high up there. So I want to welcome you to Frederick City, Frederick County, and to a different way of life coming from your area, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And not a worse, but a much better. Chief, what is it? You've been here how long now?
Gone on my 6 months. Started first week in March.
Well, we're happy to have you here. We need a chief of police to stay around a while, so I would encourage you, because I say some things, I would encourage you to stay. Don't go anywhere. I mean, it's nice to have a chief, and what happens is sometimes we get a chief in and they decide that, well, I'm going to move on. Please, stay around a while. We like you here. You know,
I appreciate it. I have no plans to go anywhere.
Good. It's good to hear. Mark that down. Frank, you ain't going nowhere.
Put in your notes, Frank.
Yeah. Chief, was the job here what you anticipated and expected?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had a great opportunity back home to do a lot of stuff that I thought was, you know, I thought was pretty cool stuff. I love policing. Nothing else I'd ever want to do. And when this job came open, I started looking at the city, what the job here specifically was all about. And through the interview process, I found it was a really good match for some of the things I'm interested in and I want to do in policing.
Well, it's great. I think you were up against some stiff competition, which is always good. And now you made yourself down here. You accepted the job. And I don't mean to say it in this order, but now you get to know the men and women of the department. Tell me about your department. You going to clean house, I understand. New broom sweeps clean. You got to get rid of everybody so you can be done right. What did you find when you got here?
I mean, I think one of the first things that I wanted to do was really get to know. I think it's equally important to get to know the community, but also to get to know the men and women of the department, both the ones who wear the badge and the civilians as well. I think a lot of times our civilians are left out. They feel like they're forgotten about, so we want to make sure we didn't do that. One of my first orders of business was to offer all of the employees of the department the chance to sit with me just for a one-on-one. Not an interview or anything,
no.
Just a casual conversation,
right.
Just to see where people's heads were at. And one of the things that really struck me was I asked every officer the same, every person the same two questions. What do you like most about the agency, and what's something that you would change if you were the chief? And everybody said that they love the people, both of the people of the agency and the community support that they get. And I think that really shows that this department's in a good spot.
I would think so. I think you come from good stock in this department. And it's, from days gone by, it's really made a difference I'm very prejudiced. I am a former. I had a job in law enforcement for many years in different I worked, as I say, either bragging or complaining, city, county, state, feds. I worked for every one of them. And my heart always goes back to where I started as far as law enforcement. Well, that's the end of my story. My next question to you is from Frank Mitchell.
Oh. Chief, would you feel comfortable sharing any of the replies to your second question, which is how could the department be better among your employees?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think transparency is really important. I'm not, going to hide anything. I think it's something you see in a lot of agencies. People want to know that there's no good old boy system, anymore. I think that was really prevalent when I got involved in policing.
Mm-hmm.
Officers were transferred or promoted based on who they knew and what their relationships were like with people. That's not what I'm all about. And so I haven't particularly noticed that myself since I've been in town, and it might just be because I'm the new guy and I'm still getting to learn the department. But that's something that's really important to me, is that we don't make decisions based on relationships, but we make decisions based on the needs of the organization and the overall good, and how we serve the community. Some of the other things that came up are things that we've already started checking off our list. Some of the officers overwhelmingly said that the police station itself needed to be replaced. I think we all know that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And that was one of my first things. I joked around with the mayor about that when I got to town. I said some of the other places I interviewed, one of the first things they do is they show off the police station and they say, this is where you'd be working if you got the job. And they didn't do that here till after I got the job. And I joke around with them and I said, I know why now. But, yeah. The mayor and the board of aldermen have been very supportive, as you know. And they just voted unanimously to give FPD a new home. And in reality, I mean, the men and women of the department deserve that new building, but it also helps us better serve the community. I mean, we can't, bring crime victims in to interview them and they're meeting with our detectives in a parking garage. That's not how we want to do business.
Well, it's been a mistake for years, and as far as I know, we've been looking for a police station for years, and I'm glad it's going to come to fruition. Hopefully it's going to come to fruition. And the building you're choosing is going to be, I don't want you to start, I started to hear rumors already, well, we could put this agency in there also. No, the department deserves their own building. They don't need to be married up with social services or food banks, and no offense to either. It's just that they deserve their own identity, and I think that's oftentimes what hurts. If you support your police department and you want a professional police department, then why do you treat them like second-class citizens? So this will be the first time others, when we started out in City Hall back in, that's way back. But then we went to 731 North Market, which was a big old house. I mean, that was the best they could do. Then the big deal was we're going to move to the courthouse, and this is really great because it's a brand new, they have indoor plumbing and everything. This is going to be great. And I knew from the very beginning small cubicles that don't amount to anything, and it never was going to survive or suffice. So I'm glad that this may become a reality. One of the questions on that before we take a break, the parking, is the parking, I know that's owned separately. Is there a deal in the works that if you take the building that the parking comes into that also?
That's all something we're working on right now, and that's, something that the folks down at City Hall are ironing out the details on that.
Oh, good. We'll find out more, and we want to talk to the chief of police. We're going to give an opportunity after we come back. That's the end of the story. We're back. Who do we have with us? The chief of Frederick City Police Department, our newest chief, and he's going to be here a long time. He's already given his word. He's going to be here 10 years at least, so don't think that he's leaving. And Chief Jason Lando, and that's Lando, right? Chief, I left off some more questions. Now, there's things going on in the law enforcement world that I don't like. As I said, I've been blessed to be every level of investigative service you can be as far as regulatory. And I see now that the immunity, which it was always important for a police officer to have from civil suits and just actions that you do daily in your life. Nobody likes to get in a fight. Nobody likes to do this. Nobody likes to have hands on what they call it now, I guess. But it happens. And now, because of leaving, the government has decided to take that away from law enforcement. Is there a purpose, or is there a group, or is there an insurance policy or something that police officers can actually come up with to protect themselves? Because they're in all honesty, they're wide open.
Yeah, it's tough because I think every good cop would agree that you don't want a bad cop on the job,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's pretty basic. But I think what we're seeing now is there are some laws being put into place that I have concerns are going to also drive the good police officers out of the profession, and that's not something we want to see happen. I think right now you're seeing a lot of officers, it's being recommended that officers go out and get their own liability insurance. I think when you take this job, you understand that there's some risks that that you take, but you should also feel confident that the lawmakers and those in power will have your backs when you do the right thing. And so, yeah, I mean, am I frustrated right now? I am. And I don't want the message to be misconstrued in any way that I condone police misconduct. That's not it at all. I just think that we need to be reasonable about how we look at some of these laws that are in place and make sure that we're able to hold bad officers accountable, but that we're also able to support the good officers who put on the uniform every day and risk their lives.
It's sad. You have enough to worry about. It's about your own personal safety and the safety of your other officers, your brothers and sisters in uniform, and then to have this on the back of your mind. And one of my famous sayings is not originally to me is that you can't teach experience. And when you lose an experienced officer, and that's hard to feel. It doesn't, you just can't go on the street and bring somebody and say, okay, here's your badge, here's your gun. This isn't the way it works.
Right. I mean, the police academy itself is vital. It's very important. You learn the basics. But there's just, yeah, I mean, when you get out in the street, it's a whole different world. There's so much you build on from what you learn in the academy. And so when you take an officer who maybe has 5 or 10 years of experience, mm-hmm. they're a leader, an informal leader on the shift, and they say, you know what, this is too much for me.
I don't need it. Yeah.
And just this past week, I got a call from a couple officers I used to work with that have left. They were phenomenal police officers, and they left the industry altogether. Mm-hmm. They left the business, and one of them, I think, went to go drive a truck. The other ones went into business, and they said, it's just not worth it for me to go to work every day and feel like that no one has my back. And I just want to make sure we don't get to that point here in Frederick.
And we're not. I think you have the support of the citizens. I think you have the support of the board and the mayor. I know that. And I think it, even before you got here, Chief, we always held our police in higher respects and to many places I've traveled the world, but they've earned that. They've earned that. I mean, so you came into a great working relationship as far as the public goes and the police department.
I can tell you, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, one thing I've noticed here in Frederick that I have just been so impressed by is the community support for the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-way street. I mean, the officers we are at every community event. It's very genuine, the officers, how they care for the community, and they get that in return from the community. And, you know, like I said, just last week with the mayor and board unanimously approving a new police station, that shows that, you know, that here in Frederick, that they have our backs.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be harder in the future to fill the ranks because Bob told me on Friday, I believe it was when I was discussing that you would be with us, sworn officers, how many? 149, does that sound right?
Yeah, we're authorized at, yeah, right around 150.
150, and how is the strength right now, if you're allowed to say? I know you're allowed to say, but you choose not to, it's okay.
Well, I mean, listen, we are down a little bit, but we have a class coming up, and just last week I checked in with our recruiters, and it looks like we'll be able to fill all the seats in the class. So that's really good, and I think that's a testament to how we recruit here in the city of Frederick. When you look nationally, there are departments that are hemorrhaging officers, and they're never going to be able to fill those seats again. So I think we are doing pretty good here.
Well, I think, first of all, that people need to understand that the starting salary needs to be at least $100,000. And people say, oh, you're out of your mind. Well, let's think about this a little bit. I mean, you know, my electrician and plumber make over $100,000 a year, and they do a great job, and I'm very happy to have them because when something goes wrong, why would you want anything less for the people that your life depends on? And that's the part. I mean, it has to soften the blow that you could lose everything. You go out and make the police officer, the female police officer that drew her gun instead of the taser. That wasn't, there's no way that you're going to convince me it was intentional. It was a mistake. But there she is facing criminal charges, obviously. And look at the civil liabilities there for her. And again, cops make mistake. We know that. And people make mistake. But that's the difference between an intentional act and something's going to happen. Do it. You know, you ride the streets enough, you patrol long enough, you're going to make mistakes. Not intentionally, but they're going to happen. If you have, you know, one of the things I always was I was a chief of police at one time in a very small department in Brunswick. And I forbid my officers from working secondary employment. I know we didn't make a lot of money in those days. This was right after the turn of the century. But I also knew that not that you couldn't serve two masters, but your body and your mind can only take so much. And when a police officer has to go out and seek second employment just to make ends meet or try to provide for his family or their family, it takes away from the quality of that service. I don't know that I would ever want – I know some unions say that they want the police officers to have that opportunity – again, you know, you're only going to be able to take care of one job at a time. And I just feel if we paid him a decent salary, and I know you're not in charge of what they get. You put in all you want, but the money's controlled by the legislatures, which is the board. But that's some of the things I think that we need to do for our police officers. Agree or disagree, I don't see. Is there an opinion that I'm missing on that?
No, I mean, I think, you know, our officers are, you know, on any given day, our officers might not be placed in a situation that puts their life on the line. But at any moment,
yeah,
you know, on April 6th, that call came in. And what did those officers do? Those officers drove right towards the gunfire where everyone else was running away. And that's to be expected, right? We expect the public will run from the gunfire.
Right.
We expect our officers will drive towards it. And so one of my mentors always used to tell me when people would complain that officers made too much money because you're not always in a gunfight.
Right.
And the gentleman used to say, we don't get paid for what we do. We get paid for what we might have to do.
Correct.
And when have to do that, you want us there. And so, I always keep that in the back of my head.
Firefighters also. I mean, you may sit around the firehouse on a good day and not have to do anything but sleep and eat and watch TV. But then again, when that building's on fire, as it is right now in Boonesboro, it's your life on the line.
And I can tell you that, you know, I was relieved to hear that just prior to me arriving here that our officers did get a 4-year contract that
good.
I think was one of the best ones that they've gotten good. In a while. So I think they were treated very fairly in that.
Never enough. But go ahead, Frank. You want to say something?
Yes, we are talking to Frederick City Police Chief Jason Lando. And won't be asking you questions like this much longer because you've been settling in and aren't a newbie anymore. But from the experience that you had in Pittsburgh, I'm curious if you could see anything that would make life better in policing in Frederick City that Pittsburgh had that Frederick doesn't, considering we're a smaller
I think for me, and I didn't always come from this mindset. You know, when I got into policing, I joke around when I teach a class on this. I got into it because I wanted to chase bad guys. Like that was my thing. But over time, as you kind of mature and you see what's going on in the world, and you realize that no matter what side you fall on, there is a deep divide in many communities between the police and the public. And you know, whether you agree with it, no matter where your politics fall, that doesn't matter. I think we can all agree that there's a problem right now across the country where the police and the public, there's a misunderstanding. There's something going on where the sides don't understand each other. So I think that's kind of the mindset I bring with me is I have had the benefit of working in communities for a long time, hearing from some community members that are great people that don't understand why we do what we do in policing, and some absolutely phenomenal police officers that don't feel supported by the community. So while the initiatives themselves might be different from city to city, I think for me the most important thing is finding ways to bring the police and the community together so we can support each other, so we don't end up here in Frederick, so we never end up like some of these cities across the country that you see. I am concerned that they're never going to get back to where they need to be with police and community.
Right. I'm going to open up the phone lines, 301-694-WFMD, if you have a question for Chief Lando. Just one question I want to ask you before our break off the text line. And some are curious, how political is your position and hiring? Should there be concern with the general public that with the change of political leadership, that basically a mayor or a board of aldermen, that you're serving at the pleasure of the mayor and an election could change things?
I think there's always, obviously there's always some concern. I think, you know, when I go to work every day, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't consider myself either. I'm like pretty middle of the road politically, and that's all I'll say about that. But when I come to work, I try to do the best job that I can do for my officers and for the citizens. And when someone comes to me with a problem, whether it's internal or external, I don't care what their political affiliation is. We have a job to do as the police, and that's to solve problems and be, you know, creatively work with the community. So if the political wind should blow in a different direction and I'm no longer welcome here in Frederick, then, you know, I guess I will have to take my show on the road again. But I'm pretty, you know, I feel like we're making good progress, at least in the first 6 months. We're doing some good stuff, and I hope I'm here for a long time.
We're going to get back to the chief of Frederick City Police Department, Chief Ando. When I ask you a question, Frank, or Chief, is that for years we've had very difficult time hiring minority officers, and I just want to know, are the minority community stepping up, or is it still going to be do anything we can to get more minorities involved in policing? We'll be right back. Free Talk Radio 930 WFMD. Okay, by Frank Mitchell and his gang. 8 Snake to 7 Lizards. I don't know if you heard him play over the weekend. If you didn't, you're much better off. He was with President Obama up in, that's not Kenny Bunkport. I said Martha's Vineyard. Frank was in the vineyard, all right. All right, that's enough. I just, Chief, every now and then, I have to get that off, you know, because every now and then I forget that Frank's here. Chief, you've taken time to explain what's going on. Is this dispatching for your department still done at the headquarters? Do you still dispatch out of the headquarters? Is that in cooperation with now ECC?
So our dispatchers are out at the ECC, but they're still Frederick City employees.
Okay.
They still work for the police department. There are civilian employees. They are absolutely phenomenal. I think a lot of times when I talk about civilian employees feeling like they're forgotten about,
yes,
a lot of times, you know, that would include our dispatchers. Right now we're hiring. We need dispatchers. So if you can work well in an extremely tense situation, but you prefer to not be out in the field carrying a gun,
sure,
dispatching might be for you, and I would encourage you to look into it. We're hiring dispatchers.
And they are a lifeline. That's your lifeline.
Absolutely. I mean, our dispatchers are doing so much behind the scenes to make our officers' jobs easier and to make their arrival at the scene safer. And there's a lot of things. People just think that they get on the radio and tell you where to go.
Exactly.
They're researching, you know, prior history, if someone has a warrant. So when the officers are responding, they already know what they're walking into.
You don't go into blindly.
Yeah. So there are our dispatchers are fantastic.
I left off before asking about minority hiring, and it's always been a difficult thing. And how are you addressing that? Because at some point, our communities will ask you, well, how come there's not more blacks? How come there's not more Asian? How come not more Hispanics? What is the agency doing to invite them into the programs?
I can tell you, you know, one of the first things I did was talk when I got to town was talk to our guys who do the recruiting, and they do a really good job. I've been very impressed. They really get out into the community and try to make personal connections with people to try and there's one thing to just put an application out there and hope you get people to apply, and there's another thing to really make that personal connection and help people see what all you can do as a police officer. It's not always just answering 911 calls. So I know that we've been really making an effort. The class that graduated when I first got to town, so I played no role in their recruitment. They were already in the academy when I got here, was probably one of the most diverse classes, I believe, from what they told me in the recent history of the Frederick Police Department. I was very glad to see that. We absolutely need to do a better job at recruiting. But I think the other thing is, and another reason why we need to get somehow past this whole national narrative that the police are the enemy, is, you know, if I was a young person of color and I turned on the TV any day of the week and I saw on any news channel police officers getting bashed, particularly as it relates to policing in black communities, I wouldn't want to be a police officer. And so it's making it even harder for us to recruit from the black community and Hispanic community. Because there's this narrative out there that cops are bad and all cops mistreat communities of color. That's not how we do business here in Frederick, and it's unfortunate because it makes it even harder for us to go out. And one of our priorities now is recruiting in those communities, and it just it makes it even harder for us. So
let me, Chief, work in one last question. And looking at the past headlines of the last few weeks, I see one issue of where there was a mental health emergency that the Frederick City Police had to address. I guess broadly, how do you see this? And it's part of the state and national issue of policing, but more in Frederick City in particular, you now have this crisis car. And how is this going to tie in with the police actually having to deal with mental health emergencies?
Yeah, I mean, it's not fair to our community and to our police officers to expect our officers to be the first responders to all of society's issues. And one of the things most prevalent right now are people suffering from mental health crisis. And probably now with COVID and some of the issues that's brought out, you know, people suffering from depression and anxiety. And we're seeing some of these mental health issues more than ever before. So you see across the country police departments trying to think outside the box and be a little different in how they respond. Right now we are running a pilot here, as you know, called the Crisis Car. And that keeps a police officer on the car, but in more of a subdued role. So the police officer is not in uniform, and the car is not a marked police car. And we do that to have it be a natural de-escalator. So you're not pulling up in a marked police car with someone who's already having a mental health emergency, and now they see a heavy police presence. We kept the police officer on the car because we feel that we need to keep our co-responders safe.
Right.
Our friends at Fire and Rescue are adding either an EMT or a paramedic to the car starting September 1st. And one of our third responder on the car is a civilian mental health professional from Shepherd Pratt. And when you think about it, when we go out on these calls, they end in one of three ways. Either the police do have to make an arrest if a crime has been committed, either the person needs mental health treatment, or it turns out to be a medical emergency, an overdose. And we thought putting all three responders on the car together would help achieve better outcomes and keep everyone safe.
Well, we'll find out. I'm all for it if it works. That innovation sounds good to me. And we'll see. Time will tell. You've had a chance to meet the sheriff, the other police chiefs and everything. How's the relationship? I've always felt it was good, but you're the man that would know. How is that relationship?
Well, the relationships between all of the law enforcement heads in Frederick County has been really good. We all know, like, you know, there's a lot of talk and chatter, you know, about various political issues. And like I said, I think we all put those aside. We work really well together, and we do that for our community and for our officers.
I want to thank the chief of Frederick City Police for being with us. He's already promised he'll be back on a regular basis. All I have to do is call. Chief, be safe. God bless. We'll
thank
be right
you.
Back. Free Talk Radio.